The 1960s were a time of political and social upheaval, but also a rich period in which artists pushed boundaries and experimented with new forms, trying to capture their times. The work of one of those artists, filmmaker Ken Brown, whose films from the 1960s have gone largely unseen, are back in front of audiences. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. My guest today has helped resurrect the work of Ken Brown. Ken Winokur is a music producer and one-third of the trio known as the Psychedelic Cinema Orchestra. The group has recently composed and recorded new music to accompany the short films of Ken Brown, and I'm happy to have Ken Winokur back on the program today. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Charles.
Thanks for joining us from your home in Boston. New project, but before we get into that, some of our listeners may know you from another group, the Alloy Orchestra, which specializes in accompanying important silent films and modern musical scores. You've performed several times here in El Paso. This new group, were you looking for a new outlet for your musical creativity? Did you find the films of Ken Brown first and thought, boy, I need to write some music for this? What came first there?
Well, a little of both. Ken Brown is an old friend of mine. He had lived in Cambridge when I first moved to town almost 40 years ago. And we got to be good friends, and I've been watching his films and enjoying his illustrations, his postcards, his silk screens, his dinner plates, his clocks on the wall, all this time. And we have collaborated on a variety of projects, including some Sesame Street segments that he animated. So when he kind of dusted off these films that he had done in between 1967 and 69, had them transferred to a digital format so that they could be seen more easily, because they're actually in the Super 8 films, and showed them to me, I was, well, just totally blown away by them and really was excited to collaborate with him on the music. Now, the music has taken a couple of different forms. It started about 5 years ago, and he put together a group of people that included me that played some shows in New York without me and then one in Boston. And it was really great, but it didn't continue on. So I had it in my mind for a while that I wanted to do more shows with us. So I got together my own group of musicians and have been touring with it for a little more than a year.
So when you first saw these films, these Super 8s that he pulled out of mothballs, were you one of the first people in 40 years to see these things?
Good possibility. I don't know how promiscuous he had been in showing them to others.
Well, the short films we're talking about are, you would consider them in some circles, avant-garde, experimental, pop cultural-ish. They were always intended, though, to be screened with some sort of musical accompaniment. However, they were intended as the backdrop. Is that correct?
That's right. If you think back, some of us can think back this far to the concerts in the 60s and the early 70s, there was very often a light show that would accompany them. And this was what they call liquid lights, which was blobs of colored liquids that were melding together, projected on the screen, elaborate, you know, just lighting cues. And in this particular case, Ken Brown was making Super 8 films that would work with the light show and would be projected either during a band's concert or between sets. He was actually employed at a place called the Boston Tea Party, which was the preeminent rock club in Boston at the time. And he showed these films in concerts of Jimi Hendrix and the Grateful Dead. I mean, all of the great 60s musicians who came through. He did mention to me recently that his favorite show, the show he felt worked the best with the music and the imagery really supporting each other, was a show he did with B.B. King.
We should note that the films were not designed specifically with those performers in mind, but this sort of free association, I guess, that the audience could have between the music that they were hearing from the artists that night on stage and then seeing behind them this very elaborate and sometimes very complex imagery that he produced.
And both he and the light show guys were actually improvising along with music. Ken was able to, you know, there's a limited amount of improvisation you can do with film, but the films were always short, 3 minutes long, and he was able to sort of DJ them to try to, you know, keep with the spirit or the tempo of the music. And certainly the light show guys as well were literally playing to the music.
You mentioned all the other types of art he's been involved with. Was he already making films before 1967 when this gig came up?
Oh, that's a good question. That would have been early in his career, but I'm sure he's one of those artists who can't live without making art.
Mm-hmm.
And I know as a child, he was organizing, he and his father were organizing little movie screening nights in their barn in Western Massachusetts and inviting all the neighbors. And, you know, I know he was scribbling drawings and, you know, just doing everything else. So I'm not sure whether there were films by him that preceded this or not.
He was probably thinking in moving images, though, already. Your group, the Psychedelic Cinema Orchestra, which was formed to write and perform music along with these films, is made up basically of you, who's playing percussion and clarinet, and Jonathan Lemaster and Dana Cooley, who are also playing electronics, as well as several other types of stringed and reeded instruments. It's amazing when you watch these films, the complexity of the music and the diversity of music you're able to produce with just three people.
I give a lot of credit to Jonathan and Dana for the complexity and diversity of this music. By the way, Dana's last name is pronounced Colley, I believe. First of all, they're amazingly flexible and talented musicians. Jonathan is literally playing violin or fiddle, plus a guitar that's all filled with electronics that he can make it sound like a sitar or a 12-string or a Fender, you know, through a Fender amplifier. And he also plays bass, an amazing kind of panoply of things. And he's switching from instrument to instrument throughout the show. And then everything is being routed through and processed by some electronics here. Delays, pitch shifters, phasers, you know, all the kinds of tricks that you can put on these things, which not only changes the sound quality of what he's actually playing, but can create a kind of another track that's running kind of concurrently and sort of in a different time along with what he's playing live. And similarly with Dana, who's playing both bass clarinet and baritone sax, and a little penny whistle and some little slides. He's got a kid's toy megaphone that he can sing into, and it comes out sounding like heavy metal singer shouting. So these guys have all these different tricks that they're kind of doing. Well, I just plug away at a live percussion drum set, congas, shakers, lots of metal objects, truck springs, and I have a pitchfork and a bell from a fight arena.
This is the perfect time, I think, to listen to a short clip of that music. So I hope from that clip people can feel what I feel, which is just like your silent film work, your music, I think, is inspired by the times these films were made, but there's certainly a very modern take on that and not slavishly trying to replicate the 1960s. And it's amazing the array of instruments we were just discussing, that most of which would not have been standard kit for a late 60s rock show.
That's right. I, as you said, in my other life at the Alley Orchestra, we have kind of made a career of both, you know, trying to support these old classic silent films, but also bring them sort of into the present so that audiences today can easily enter into these films and just absorb them and not feel like they're being dragged back to an old creaky time.
I think part of that strategy, though, that works so well is that you show how modern these films remain and how timely they are, because they're not, the imagery is not stuck in the past either.
Absolutely. Well, with Ken Brown's films, the astounding editing that he did. Now, all this editing is done in camera, so unfortunately it's a little hard to visualize on the radio, but these are very rapidly paced scenes, if you call them. The scene could be two or three frames, or rarely do the scenes last more than a couple of seconds. And they meld in and out of each other. He had a camera, a Fuji single 8 camera to be precise, that allowed him to rewind the film and double or triple expose it.
Extraordinary.
the Kodak company tried to prevent from happening by accident with their Super 8 cassettes. It was impossible to double expose them. The Fuji camera started with 16-millimeter film.
And these films are largely organic forms and geometric patterns and superimposed images, of their times, politicians and peace signs and exotic sounds and such, which you've added. But watching it the other evening, and we'll give some links to these films at the end of the show, you are taken with just how sophisticated the editing and the superimposition, what we would call special effects today, which would be done on a computer, is all being done on this little 8-millimeter film that he's making.
The other way this gets so complex and interesting is that Ken is an amazing animator. So there's lots of drawing in it, and a huge amount of clip art. So he would take images from magazines or newspapers and animate them, move them around, add them together, montage them. So there's a very complex and rich melding of these images.
Yeah, if people think of maybe the early Monty Python, the Terry Gilliam cut image animations, he's working in the same vein as that. I wanted to ask you how things are going when you perform these. You've been out on the road occasionally with these films in which they're front and center and your music is supporting them. How are audiences taking these more than 40 years on now?
Oh, it's fabulously. These things are not creaky and old-looking. It's a thrilling show. The pace of the images coming at you, melding with the music, can be very moving, and especially, but not exclusively, for people who had actually been through this period of time, there's a wonderful kind of flood of nostalgia. Mm. And for those of us who are a little bit younger, although I was there during the 60s, I was pretty young, there's been this fascination ever since the 60s with just the creative spirit, the liberation of people from the confines of society's mores. And I think it remains really fascinating to very young people as well, what was really going on in the 60s. And this is the real deal. This is really what was going on in the 60s.
It's very evocative for anyone who watches these, and I'm glad you're getting these films back out. I wanted to mention before we wrapped up, though, that your other project, the Alloy Orchestra, that specializes in original compositions for silent films, you've just restored and put back out a beautiful copy on DVD of Rudolph Valentino's Son of the Sheik that I know was a labor of love for you for many years, and that's available, I guess, through your website?
AlloyOrchestra.com.
Fantastic. It's always great to see the new directions you're going in, Ken, and I want to wish you the best of luck with all your new music and cinema ventures.
Well, thank you, Charles. I must say you've been really supportive of our work over the years, and we are greatly appreciative.
My guest today has been Ken Winokur, founder and one-third of the musical group Psychedelic Cinema Orchestra, whose musical compositions accompany the pop culture and experimental films of Ken Brown, made between 1967 and 1969. The films were originally designed to be part of a moving image backdrop for rock shows and concert venues in and around Boston. To learn more about Ken Brown and his films, log on to kenbrownpixpop.com, and that's Pix spelled P-I-X. Several of Brown's films are available online, accompanied by the Psychedelic Cinema Orchestra's musical compositions at both Vimeo and YouTube. Just do a search for Psychedelic Cinema Orchestra. Links to the films are also available on the On Film page at ktep.org. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. I'm Charles Horek. Thank you for listening to On Film.